Good morning. You are listening to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo in conversation with Rashmi. Who doesn't enjoy a good vacation? Planning a vacation can sometimes be overwhelming, and managing it all within budget, well, that's a huge challenge in itself. To share his experience with travel and some great tips and tricks coming up a little later on the show is Dravko Gunjevic, Akazi. But first, what comes to your mind when you think of junk? Junk food, junk jewelry, or junk items? But what about junk music? Well, what if you can create music with these junk items? The items that are found from materials diverted from landfills and recycling plants. To talk about it and how we can make a difference in our lives towards a more sustainable future is Mary Neal, founder of KW Junk Music, and joining her will be Jeff Cowell and Len McCartney. So thank you, Mary, Jeff, and Len, for joining me in studio this morning. It's a pleasure to have you here. Mary, has music always been a part of your life?
Music when I was a child, and I did a lot of choirs, but it wasn't really until junior high when I picked up the saxophone that I found my like real love and passion for music. And since then, it's kind of been in and out, and I went to university for a science degree, and I've kind of got so busy that I lost music in that part of my life. And so later in my life, I picked up, I started joining choirs again, and then I started the program at Laurier, which is the Masters of Community Music. And then I started diving into what is it that I really want to do with music? What is it that is, what can I do in this realm that feeds my soul? And so I decided to combine a combination of the three things that I love to do, which is music, my passion for sustainability, and my love of community. And I brought them all together and decided to start an organization. And here I am.
How did you get the idea of creating music literally out of junk, recyclable materials?
Yeah, so I actually read an article. It came out of the UK. It was about a theater group that did junk music as part of their theater company and their theater productions. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why does it have to be limited to theater productions? And so one day, it was like in 2017, I was part of the City of Kitchener's Neighbors Day, and I decided to try to host a junk music jam in Victoria Park. I said, hey, I'm going to just, I literally called out to all my neighbors and said, bring me your junk. I'm building instruments. And they did. They, all of a sudden, I would have random things left on my front porch. And I started building instruments then, and I ran that event in June of that year. And it got into the local section of the Record, a photo of it got in there, and somebody called me up and said, I'd really love to like bring you on to do it, to do something with my group. And it just kept going from there. It was never something that I intended to actually be like a thing that I do. It was just, I guess there was a need for it, and the community saw it out there, and then it inspired people, and people have been sort of bringing me into their groups, their communities, and their organizations since then. And here I am.
So yeah. How do you source these instruments?
Yeah, this is a good question. So I always say that like my organization, KW Junk Music, was it serves community in what I do, but it was also built by community. So like I mentioned, mm-hmm. I would say like, I'm building instruments, bring me your junk. And people would start like putting stuff on my front porch. So it kind of goes two ways. Either people kind of randomly find something, think that, hey, it might work to make an instrument out of, and they'll leave it on my front porch. And then I would have to figure out what to do with it. Or the flip side is I'll get an inspiration, or I'll see something out there and I say, I want to build it. And I'll put a call out and be like, please send me your wire hangers. And then all of a sudden, a dozen wire hangers show up hanging on my like doorknob. And so it depends on what kind of gets dropped there or what I see. And from there, I really do ask like my neighbors, my community, this, like the City of Kitchener and City of Waterloo, and people in this area are very generous and very supportive of community initiatives. And so it's been really easy. I just kind of say, I need this, and it shows up.
So you brought some instruments with you.
Yeah.
You have Jeff and Len play some for us right now.
Sure, yeah.
Can. So yeah. Before we start playing the instrument, if you want to tell us what instruments you're going to be using, I'm going to post these videos on my Facebook page and Conversation with Rashmi so you can check it out, what they actually use to play these music.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Len doesn't really have a junk instrument. He's coming with his guitar, and thank you very much for that. And so Jeff is our percussionist, and he plays all sorts of fun things, but for today he's going to be playing a griddle. Do you want to give us a little ring? And he's also playing a bass drum, which is actually what houses a lot of my junk when I go from one place to another. It's like this really big, large bin that has wheels and a handle, and it's where I put everything. But when you bang it with a, why don't you give it a it sounds really good as a bass drum. So that's what we brought today. And Len is sitting on it so that, and of course, and I will be playing a water bottle shaker. And this is a really popular one that I take to events. And kids love to make them and play with them. And so we fill them up with bird seeds. I'll give it a ring so you hear. And I always try to design these instruments. So even if we're making instruments as in workshops and events, I always try to design instruments that can still be recycled and don't add to the waste that is in our world currently. So after you're done with the water bottle shaker, you can kindly send the bird seeds outside for birds to feed, and you can still recycle the bottles. So that's the reason why we use bird seeds when we make our shakers. All right.
That was so cool. You were also, Mary, named 2019 City of Kitchener Artist in Residence. So how has this opportunity helped you in engaging with the community?
It's been amazing. It's been so inspirational for me. So my project was about going to different neighborhoods and community groups and working with them to write pieces of music, to write songs together. It's what I call community compositions. So I've been writing these community compositions for the past year, and they've been in all different venues and with all different people and about all different things. So for example, that last tune was actually fun stuff to do at the KPL, and we went to the Kitchener Public Library and worked with people to talk about like, why do they go to the Kitchener Public Library. So we have an entire song about why people go to the Kitchener Public Library. I've gone to porch parties and wrote, one of the songs we wrote was like that hashtag Love My Hood theme song, which is all about why do we love the city of Kitchener? Like, what is it about our neighborhood and our communities that we love? And we wrote a song about it. And I've been to schools, I've been in community centers, and it's been very interesting because it's helped me grow both musically in the facilitation work that I've done. Like, it's like you go out there and you learn about your community, and then you put it into song, and then you learn all these different genres, because every group that comes together is going to do have a different feel, experience that they bring in, and have a different sound that they produce. Absolutely. And so, like, for example, one of them was a Spanish social group that runs out of the downtown community center. So that song had a Latin feel. And so I'm learning about like creating all this different music and creating different sounds and creating them with junk. So that has actually really inspired me to grow my own personal practice and figure out what is it that I want to do next, basically. Mm-hmm. And so it's really challenged my creativity and sort of my skill set. And it's been very inspirational in the people that I've met and the messages they want to share.
And how do you work with getting your team together?
Yeah, so for the artist in residency, it was basically I kind of decided what I wanted to do and who I wanted to engage. So I kind of I do a lot of things very free-flowing. And so I just put a call out there and said, hey, I'm doing this. Who wants to bring me in? And so people just started reaching out to me. So the porch parties definitely were people who were like, this would be really great to do. Like if we could write a song at our porch party and then perform it on one of the stages. And that's what we did for a number of the porch parties. But generally for me, it's people just reach out to me if they're hosting a community event, if they're hosting a neighborhood event and they want something musical that's interactive to come in, they'll just contact me through KW Junk Music. Or I've done things like birthday parties. I've done, you know, girls' night out where we come and write a song together or things like that. So it really is just kind of word of mouth at this point where people mm-hmm. just see me and hear about me and then they say, hey, what can you bring? And because everything that I do is very flexible, it's customizable. So if mm-hmm. you have an event and you want something particular to happen at your event, I'm happy to work with people to figure out how to make that happen.
If there are other artists who want to be a part of the group, an opportunity for them, or you have your own group?
No. I'm definitely open to working with. I'm definitely working with anyone who's interested. So right now, whenever I find a need for something, I kind of reach out and say, "Hey, I'm looking for a guitar player. I'm looking for a percussionist." But people have kind of said, come to me and said, "Like, hey, I'd love to like help you build an instrument." And I have one student that's actually from Laurier who came up to me and said, I'm really into building string instruments. That's something that I want to do in the future, but it'd be really interesting if we could make it out of junk. Mm-hmm. And so I've started working with him. And then it's interesting that you mentioned that because I have a friend who's a retired welder who heard of me through my article in the Record when I first started my residency. And he's really interested in this idea of like recycling materials and bringing things together out of like diverting items. Mm-hmm. So he's actually worked with me to create a number of instruments, including I have this like steel drum that he made for me because he found a steel barrel drum off of Kijiji on the side of the road. He's like, someone's putting it on the side of the road. It's free. Do you want it? And I'm like, sure, I'll take it. And then we kind of look at it and we're like, what are we going to do with it? So we cut like the top third of it off and he soldered the lip from the bottom so that nobody would hurt themselves on the edges. And now it's like one of our kids, when they play, it's one of their favorite instruments to play. It's actually one of everyone's favorite instruments to play because it's loud and resonant. And yeah. So I'm totally open to community members who want to get engaged in this initiative.
And what's your goal for 2020?
My goal for 2020. So that's kind of a question that stems out of the next steps out of this residency that came out of it. Because I was wrapping up the public interactions I was having with my residency, and I was wondering, what do I do now? And so I was very inspired by connecting with community and making music with community and sharing their message through that I've decided that I'm gonna try to write an album in
that's
2020.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's an album that's inspired by basically what I'm doing is I'm going through local media and social media and listening or reading through what are people having conversations about. Like, what are the issues in our community that are the hot topics that people are having, the controversies that people are talking about? And what I'm doing is I'm working with people who have lived experiences of those issues. So, for example, the first song I wrote was about the opioid crisis, and the second one was about how immigrants struggle to find employment in a new country.
Absolutely.
And my most recent one was about the affordable housing crisis that we have in this community and generally in the world. And so I work with people who have lived experience of those issues and collaborate with them to write a piece of music. And then we put it together and we record it. And at some point it's going to be an album that actually has their voices also on it, because I take clips of interviews that were done mm-hmm. with those people as well and incorporate them into the music. So that is 2020.
We are looking forward to listening to it and getting our copies. So yeah. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Can people find you on, be it your social media handles? Where can people reach out to you if they need to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So KW Junk Music is my handle. And it is, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. You name it, I guess I'm out there. It's also, my website is kwjunkmusic.ca, and they can reach out to me also by email through kwjunkmusic@gmail.com. And yeah, happy to connect with anyone who's interested.
And you're going to play something for us and sing as well. So we are looking forward to that. And I'll hand over the mic to you guys.
All right. I'll tell you a little bit about the song. So this was actually one of the first community compositions that were created during my residency. It was written by elementary students of Trillium Public School here in Kitchener. And it's called Be Resilient because their trait of the month was resiliency. Mm-hmm. So we wrote a song about the importance of being resilient and what you can do to take steps to be resilient. So this is it. Same featured instruments. We've got the griddle, we've got the bass drum bin, and the water bottle shaker. So take it away. I'm on a roller coaster ride, and I'm counting to 10. Gonna walk away, I distract myself, then talk it out. Do something that makes you happy, calm down. Your hero trait is to be resilient. Something that makes you happy, calm down. Your hero trait is to be resilient. Something that makes you happy, calm down. Your hero trait is to be resilient. Do something that makes you happy, calm down. Your hero trait is to be resilient. I'm on a roller coaster ride, and I'm counting to 10. Gonna walk away, distract myself, then talk it out. Do something that makes you happy, calm down. Your hero trait is to be resilient. Do something. Be resilient. Be resilient. Be resilient.
That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you, Mary, Jeff, and Lynn for playing this wonderful music, and Mary sharing the inspiring work with our listeners and entertaining us with your wonderful music this morning. We never thought junk music could sound so good. We loved it. I loved it. And again, if people need to reach you one more time, if you can just tell me your social media handles.
KW Junk Music on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and kwjunkmusic@gmail.com for an email, and kwjunkmusic.ca for website.
Stay tuned. I'll be right back with my next guest, Dravko Gunjewe. Hello and welcome back. Those of you who have just tuned in, you are listening in conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. With me in studio, I have Dravko Gunjewek, a Kazi, who is here to talk all things travel. Thank you, Z, for coming in this morning. It's a pleasure having you here.
Hi, Rashmi. Thanks for having me.
We all have that one reason why we like traveling. So why did you start traveling and what made you fall in love with it?
So for me, what started my little bit of a love affair, if you want to call it that, with traveling and exploring, actually started when I was in OAC, like grade 13 back in the day. It was a school trip to London and Paris. So it was the first time that I went away without my parents. Now, granted, there was a group of us. I think there was like maybe 20 of us students and a couple of teacher chaperones that went as well. But at the same time, you're a young adult, so we're allowed to explore the cities on our own, right? Mm-hmm. So it was ever since then, that very first trip on my own to London and to Paris with those group of friends and those people that kind of inspired everything and one kind of keeps me... and want to continue on and go and visit new places.
What's your normal style of travel? I know people, you know, like to fly, they like road trips. So what is the travel mode you like and enjoy?
It really depends on what we want to do, to be honest. I love them all. I've had absolutely amazing road trips. I've taken the train places. I've flown, obviously, places as well. It really depends for us where you want to go and what you want to do. We've done a mix of them over the years as well. So a couple of years ago, my partner and I, we met in Germany, and we decided to rent a car. And we had a friend who was living in Bordeaux in France at the time. So instead of taking a train or flying from Munich to Bordeaux, we decided to take a road trip throughout Europe. Mm-hmm. So we got to see places and towns and little things that you don't see, obviously, when you're flying. So we got to take our time as well and experience some of those local cultures. It took us, honestly, much longer to get to Bordeaux. So we ended up spending the night in Zurich that time and then, you know, taking our time the next day to make it up to Bordeaux to see her. But like I said, you got to see so many different things that you don't normally get to see.
Would you say it's better when you have someone living in these different countries to plan a trip, or because budget plays a huge role in planning trips to or vacations where you want to travel.
Very true.
So how do you manage those expenses?
So it's always nicer when you travel with someone else, obviously, because that way you kind of split the costs. Most of the trips that we've done, we've actually traveled with like three or four people as well. Okay. So that way you split the costs nicely. And by splitting the costs, I mean like things like accommodations, food, etc. Right? Like the more people, obviously, then
better.
It's easier Absolutely. To split that, right? If you have a friend or a family member in a certain city or country that you're going to, obviously that's going to save you much more. So, for example, that trip when we went to Bordeaux, we stayed with my friend Kat for a couple of nights, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously didn't pay for our stay there. But, you know, we took her out for dinner as a thank you, and we bought her some wine and all that kind of stuff as a thank you. Still worked out to be much cheaper than obviously accommodations, right?
And your most creative thing that you've ever done to save money during your travel?
So I don't know if it's necessarily creative ways of saving money, but some of the things that we've learned over the years is, mm-hmm. you know, kind of shy away from some of those touristy places, right? So when you look Absolutely. At Venice, for example, St. Mark's Square, absolutely stunning and gorgeous and beautiful. And I'll tell you a quick story of my friend Dan and I, when we were in Venice a number of years ago, it's probably about 15 or so years ago. We were backpacking throughout Europe at the time, so very, very low budget at the time. But there's certain times where we decided to treat ourselves, right? So we're like, let's sit in St. Mark's Square. Let's enjoy a glass of wine on a patio or on the terrace, right? When we got our bill, we got charged for an outdoor sitting fee. We got charged for an outdoor music fee. And we had a couple other people that sat down at the table as well. And they got charged those same fees as well. So our one glass of wine each, I think, ended up costing us something like 45 euros. So I've learned ever since then that you kind of want to stay away from some of those touristy areas if you want to save some money. That's not to say that you don't go there and see it, because like I said, some of those places are absolutely stunning and beautiful and rich in culture and history. But if you want food and drinks, just kind of go off the beaten path a little bit.
Would you also say it's better to research a little bit about these touristy places of the do's and don'ts?
I would say yes. We've done it both ways over the years. Something that I really enjoy doing is when you go to a new city, is just kind of living life as a local. So we try not to do too much planning in terms of what we want to do and what we want to see. We just kind of go with the flow, and we find that we have a better experience. I think it just kind of depends on who you are, essentially, right? Like, you know, you don't go, again, to all those, like, touristy places constantly, right? Mm-hmm. I like to sit down somewhere at a cafe and just, like, watch the world go by me, right? Mm-hmm. I like to go to, like, that hole-in-the-wall restaurant because that's where the locals go. And typically, that's where the best food is as well, right? We had some of our best experiences traveling by just saying yes to what locals have told us to do and see and go to, right? Sometimes it might just be a park that's not in like a travel guide, right? But it's like this cute little park that's just filled with, you know, different architecture or like 1,000-year-old trees or something like that. And it's just nice to, like, again, do what locals do.
Talking about locals, what if there's a challenge with the languages? How does that work when you're trying to, you know, see these local places and be around the community there and ask them questions? Yeah. Language plays a huge barrier in these.
100%. It's kind of, you know, like English is kind of like the business language of the world, right? So, I mean, like you're pretty good knowing, getting by with basics, right? We always try to learn the basics of the language in the country that we're going to, right? So obviously, like, hellos, goodbyes, thank yous, where's the washroom, basic stuff. Something that, like, a local speaking person would appreciate, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to obviously sense that you don't know the language fully, and that's okay, right? Because you're trying. But Google Translate is your best friend. when I was in China last year, I Google translated everything and Google image translated everything. And like I said, that ended up being my best friend.
And what's something that you absolutely find essential to pack when you travel, other than your passport, of course?
Passport is key, yes. And whatever other documents you might need, like a visa, for example. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's knowing the weather that you're going. So I've gone to places where, you know, expect it to be like warm or reasonably warmish, and then it's frigid. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having to go to a store to buy a sweater before, for example, because I didn't pack a sweater. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of having that little bit of foresight to think ahead about some of those little things. And aside from that, I'd say I don't take an SLR camera or a digital camera with me. I just take my phone with me. The camera on my phone, for me personally, like everyone else has their own styles and how they want to take their photos, but the camera on my phone is marvelous, right? And it keeps down the number of stuff that you're bringing, the potential number of stuff that you might lose or forget somewhere.
For sure. Are there challenges at the border when you reach a certain place and you have to cross borders? Again, there can be of different diversity languages. So have you faced any challenges across crossing borders?
Personally, no. We have not experienced any challenges crossing any international borders. In saying that, you have to make sure that you have the correct documentation. So, for example, if you need a visa to enter a country, or some countries require, I think it's called an ETA, an electronic
travel
something, right? Mm-hmm. Like Australia, for example, requires that. So you have to make sure that you read every piece of documentation, or like when you book your ticket, for example, make sure you read everything that's on there. So that way you don't run into any type of problems.
Is there anything you do on your travels or in your daily life to try and minimize your impact on environment? Because I know you are quite passionate about, yep, you know, sustainability and environment and things like that. So what's your take on that, or what have you done to minimize that?
Yeah, so we kind of do like a carbon offset type of thing. So instead of doing a carbon offset per trip, there's an organization based in BC called Tree Era. And once a year, we'll buy a bunch of trees, essentially. So typically around Christmas time, they actually have gift packages that you can do, and not try and do like a plug for this organization, but I just really, really like what they do, right? Mm-hmm. So it can be somewhere from like $20 to $50, and it buys like, you know, 100 trees that they plant in your name.
And do you have some traveling hacks, or which is generally not known to people, you know, when you Google them, or mm-hmm. It's based on your experience. Do you have anything that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. So something that I really, really like doing is the last number of years, especially with like the proliferation of number of Airbnb units, renting a place that has a kitchen. We really, really found over the years that it's expensive to eat out, especially when you go to like Europe, for example. Even if you're going to like that hole in the wall restaurant, if you're eating breakfast, lunch and dinner and snacks in between, it's going to get really expensive. So with an Airbnb or a place that has a kitchen, what we tend to do is buy groceries. So we'll make breakfast for ourselves. Sometimes, you know, if we're going to rent a car and we're going on a road trip, we'll pack sandwiches for ourselves as well. And typically, depending on how long we're staying somewhere, we'll also make dinner for ourselves in the place that we're staying as well. But that's not to say that we don't treat ourselves. Part of the joy of traveling is to experience different cultures and different foods as well, right?
Sure.
So we always try to make sure that we go out at least once or twice and experience different foods, especially, especially stuff we don't have here at home in Canada, right?
Talking about Airbnb, have you had any bad experiences booking it, or once you've reached an Airbnb and said, oh my God, what have we gotten? This is not what we booked.
So we never had any terrible, terrible experiences. But this last trip that we took in September, we went to Ireland, and the Airbnb that we had rented in Dublin said it had a full kitchen, which it had a kitchen, but no pots or pans or dishes or cutlery or anything. There was no internet as well. And internet is the way everyone pretty much communicates nowadays, right? So like all of our apps have like telephone capabilities or FaceTime or something, right? So it kind of ended up being like a little bit of a, what do we do now, right? Like we purposely rented an Airbnb with a kitchen so we can save on costs. So we ended up contacting the host, and the host was really generous and gracious and ended up refunding our money for the rest of the time. And we just booked another place.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
But not often you find hosts who you support that or say, okay, we don't want to refund you because this is what we said. This is what was on our website. So again, those fine details and information, it's key to
100%. Yeah.
Keep an eye on.
Oh my God, 100%. And that goes same with your like airline tickets as well, right? So I know some people will see like a fare that's like, you know, $99 taxes and fees included. But what you don't notice is sometimes those very, very low discounted fees, you can't change anything. So you can't change dates. You can't pre-book your seats. Sometimes there's no meals included. So just because it's the cheapest seat available doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to end up costing you the less amount of the two, right? So like you said, just always, always read. It's not necessarily even fine print, but always read the details and stuff that you're booking and doing.
And talking about airline, there are certain airline etiquettes one needs to follow because, you know, we as a passenger can get a little aggressive too.
Yep.
And the people on the receiving end are doing their best to keep the passengers happy and doing their job, like you said.
Yep.
So give us some of those tips.
Yeah. So my partner is a flight attendant. So I actually asked him for some of his tips and tricks in airport etiquette. So this is a list from a flight attendant. So it says, read your emails, tickets, and signs. It will release a lot of stress and needless questions. So again, something like, is there food available on the plane? Not all flights include free food. Some of it is pay for food. So if you know that you're going to be hungry, eat at the airport. Eat before you go. The next one here is, if you need to stop to do something, move it to the side of the hallway. Don't stop in the middle of the hallway in the airport.
I agree. I've had a few of those.
Yeah, because like people are in a rush sometimes and someone just stops. And then I've seen collisions before, right? And like that's just unnecessary. A big one is be polite to employees and make eye contact. So he says, if I greet you, at least acknowledge me. So I've seen situations where people are yelling at gate agents, yelling at flight crews and flight attendants. And the thing to remember is, again, like you said, these people are doing their jobs, right? And with flight attendants, especially, like they don't get paid until that door closes, right? So they arrive an hour or an hour and a half early before the flight. They make sure that the plane is secure and they do their security checks and prep the flight or prep the plane, pardon me, for the flight. They're not being paid for that work, right? You know, if there's like a flight delay for whatever reason, they're also delayed. And chances are some of them, if it's an early morning flight, have been up since 4 a.m., right?
Wow, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then he also says, be prepared, especially in the winter. Delays are going to incur. So, you know, again, if you're hungry and you know that there's going to be a delay, eat at the airport. Eat before you leave your home type of thing. And again, not all flights include free meals, or sometimes it's limited meals. Sometimes, you know, like, you know, if it's a flight with like 262 people on it, they don't necessarily pack 262 meals on it, mm-hmm. right? Unless the flight includes a free meal, right? Or if you have a special diet, for example, then you obviously want to make sure that you either order ahead of time. So some airlines ask that you do that. I think it's like 48 hours in advance or something along those lines. Again, check the airline, check their details. Or just buy your own food at the airport and bring it on, right? Bring it on board. And then the last one he says is do not get inebriated at the airport, especially before your flight or on the flight as well.
And one other thing I would also say is the baggages, because every flight has different baggage capacity these days. And not all flights allow you two or one or carry-ons even. Sometimes they're like, okay,
exactly.
No.
And that goes along with like saving you money as well, right? So I mean, like if you're going somewhere where you can just pack a carry-on, mm-hmm. just pack a carry-on for like the most part, that's all I do. If I'm going somewhere for a week or longer, then I'll bring a bigger suitcase that I'll check. Typically those flights will include one or two checked bags. But you know, if you're needing to change a flight for whatever reason, sometimes, you know, the first airline that you took only allows or will allow two flights, but the second airline only allows
one baggage.
Yeah. So,
and any travel sites you can suggest to find some great deals on vacations, hotels, even car rentals, like in your research and travels?
Yeah, so one website that I really like is called nextdepartures.ca. Okay. So this is actually the one where we found an absolutely amazing deal to go to Australia with. We paid $750 Canadian.
Wow.
Round trip. And that's with an upgrade to like a bulkhead seat, right? So there's three of us traveling, so we didn't bump up any further to like premium or business or anything like that. But we wanted to make sure we were at least comfortable enough on that really long leg of that flight. So nextdepartures.ca. Okay. Travelzoo is also really good too. So Travelzoo also, if you sign up to become one of their members, they also give you things that aren't necessarily travel related, but they're at least experience related as well. So you'll see some stuff on there. YYZ Deals is another really good one as well. And the nice thing about all these websites is that they don't bombard you with emails either. So like they'll send you like one a week,
two a week.
Depending on when there's an actual deal that they, that they feel is actually necessary or worthy, pardon me, to like actually send out. Mm-hmm. In terms of like accommodation, like I said, Airbnb is kind of our go-to. There's a local company actually called backpackercollege.ca or .com. I can't remember which one it is right now. Backpacker College. Yeah. So they aggregate Airbnb listings, booking.com listings, as well as Expedia listings for accommodations. So it's kind of like an Orbitz website almost, but it's local Waterloo region. So if you want to support local, and again, if you want to see kind of everything in one spot, it's nice to see it all in one spot instead of kind of flipping back and forth as well.
And all these website links that Z just mentioned, I will have them posted on my Facebook page and Conversation with Rashmi. And any other travel things that, you know, you never do, you want to tell our listeners before we wind up?
I'm sure there's lots of things that you should never do, right? Like don't get belligerent in like a foreign country. Know the rules. You know, there's some countries where it's illegal to like, you know, spit on the ground, for example, right? So know some of those rules. You know, you never want to find yourself in a situation where the police are called on you, right?
No,
especially
you don't want
in a foreign country. Well, not even in Canada for that matter, right? But like, especially in a foreign country, right? But yeah, I would say just generally just know the rules of those countries and some of their local do's and don'ts. Like, you know, some countries, like, you know, holding up two fingers is the equivalent of the middle finger here, for example, right? So like it's I'd say it's more so up to you to do your own research on that based on where you're going.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Z, for sharing your experience with travel and giving us some great advice and tips. It's a pleasure having you here this morning. Tune in to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. You can also listen live online on www.radiowaterloo.ca. If you have a story you want to share, you can email me at onairwithrashmi. It's onairwithrashmi@gmail.com. You can follow me on my Facebook page. It's In Conversation with Rashmi, or my Instagram feed at rashsanj, rashsanj. Until then, have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for listening In Conversation with Rashmi.